And welcome to day two of the lives. If you have any questions, please do ask them. I have some here. I also hope that Maureen is coming and bringing a lot of great chat, because I also don't think I have all that much of that today. Although, do you know what I just discovered that you can do, which is probably going to make me even more... Crime. Like, I didn't know you could do that. Apparently that's quite a normal thing now, and you can just do that. But yeah. Right, here she is.
Am I bringing in the chat? Is it
what? The crack?
Where are you gone? Why can't I see you?
Oh, I can see you.
Oh no, I don't want to be just looking at myself the whole time.
That's weird. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You were there a second ago. My very fancy curtains. Emma, you're completely gone from my screen. I don't like this.
Can anybody else see me? If you can see me, just comment and
is there let me know. Anybody out there? Yeah, no, all I can see is myself. I saw you there a minute ago and now you're gone.
Do you want to leave and then come? Oh wait, no.
Okay, I'm gonna go. Oh, can you see both of us?
I can see you. We can see you both. Right, well, you're just gonna have to deal with talking to yourself.
Oh no, I'm going. I'll be back.
Oh god. Do you know there's a new thing here that's like a little puzzle piece? I wonder what that is. Oh, it's gone now. Oh, how very sad. Oh right, here she is. Like they say in Avatar, I see you. Is that from Avatar?
Oh no.
Sexy curtains.
This is very strange. Okay, we're going to just have to roll with it.
Roll with it. Don't pretend like you're not always just looking at yourself anyway.
Probably am.
You know, you can absolutely tell when people are doing that on Zoom. They're like,
It's very,
yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I'm easily distractible.
Okay. How was your day?
My day's been good, busy, but good. How has yours been? See, now I'm just looking at the black screen.
I've had better days. It's not like, it's been fine. I thought I was a lot better, and then I'm not fully better.
Okay. We won't go there, so.
Yeah. No, not fully recovered yet. Okay. Would you like a question?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see, where are we going to start today? Should I take creatine even if I only do home workouts with dumbbells and steps?
Yes, you can take creatine at any time. You don't even have to be exercising for it to be of benefit to you.
Say what?
What? She say what?
Yeah, there are like psychological benefits to creatine as well. So, yeah, I would be taking it all the time, especially if you're not getting much from your diet. So if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, you're probably going to get way more of the cognitive benefits. Then I looked actually quite deep into some of the research on menopausal or perimenopausal women. I think probably the benefit that most people are most interested in of the women that we work with is the reduction in brain fog. So there's some research on that. It doesn't, you know, like anything, it doesn't always work for everyone. There's probably an element of a bit of a placebo, which is great because creatine is really cheap. And, you know, if you're going to get a placebo from it, there's no real negative side effects to taking it. May as well. And then some people seem to really notice a difference, which is great. The other potential benefit is not a complete stop to the reduction in bone mineral density that you often see in perimenopausal and postmenopausal women, but a reduction in that. So there's one quite big study that compared two groups, one taking creatine and one not, and they saw better bone mineral density at the hip. So again, that might seem like I think a lot of people hear that, and I like myself used to be like, cool, bone mineral density, like why do I care about, like that sounds really sexy and exciting. Well, it actually is quite important. So yeah, definitely worth taking for those reasons. Okay, post-surgery, can't lift for 8 weeks. Tips for staying focused during surgery recovery.
Ooh, focused on, but what's the goal? Tips, say that again.
She doesn't have a goal. It's just like she's had surgery, can't lift for 8 weeks. Tips for staying focused during surgery recovery. I'm imagining like, not giving up, not going off the rails. Have you ever had surgery?
Yeah. I've had cartilage removed from one of my knees twice. Yeah.
And how did you
Sport-induced.
stay focused during recovery?
I wouldn't say I did. No, I would say find something else to do, like find a different hobby or something like that that you actually enjoyed, that's going to keep you entertained, that's going to keep you busy, so to speak, that you're not just sitting at home kind of wallowing in your own self-pity, because that can happen.
I don't know
So then
why, but I don't know what you were going to say there. Wallowing in your own
oh,
self-pity. Yes, yes.
something else. Yeah, no. But yeah, I'd say find something else like that, maybe that you haven't tried before, that might excite you, that's kind of like fun, that you can focus on, learn something new, might be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah,
That's
do
what I
the
would do.
shit that you've been putting off for freaking ages, because there'll be something. You might be like, oh, I should have always done that nutrition course, EIQ nutrition. Or like maybe you want to learn a language, or you want to paint your kitchen, or redo something, or connect with your friends more. Like there's so
Learn
many things
an
you can
instrument.
do. Yeah, start the clarinet.
What of all instruments? Why would you pick the clarinet?
Don't know, I just thought that you might, I could see you doing it.
The
Yeah, that's the flute, not the
Yeah.
clarinet. The clarinet's still that way.
Oh, this one. I can't see you. I can just see
Oh.
a black screen. The clarinet is this way,
Yeah.
like the tin whistle. Yeah. That's a bit of a tangent.
But I do like I absolutely agree. Find something to do, something to focus your mind. Otherwise, you will go crazy and you'll just be like thinking about what you can't do. You need to focus on what it is that you can do. Now, there are many things that you can do. I decided to start numerous businesses. You might also want to do that. Hey, start a side hustle.
Yeah.
Whatever. Get busy doing something, because otherwise it is real depressing.
Yeah, worked well.
Yeah, it's doing all right. Yeah. Okay, I'm pregnant but obese, so I need to lose body fat. Any tips? People seem afraid to advise a calorie deficit if pregnant. It's absolutely safe, and probably one of the best things you can be doing for your child is a sensible calorie deficit if you're very overweight and pregnant. But all this is very individual, so if you want some help, just shoot me a message afterwards. Okay, if you quote unquote overeat on protein but still under on daily calories, will the extra protein store as fat?
No, you cannot store calories that are not there.
True that. Yeah. You won't store the extra protein. It's also quite hard to, if you're going to overeat on anything, protein's probably the best thing to overeat on in terms of calorie balance, because it will take more calories to break down. Okay. Topic, amount of exercise to disrupt menstrual cycle.
Oh, that will vary person to person. There's no like blanket statement. There's a lot of things to take into consideration. Also a person's like tolerance to stress. Like there's yeah. What's your thoughts on that? Like I don't think you can give it like a definite answer. It's really person dependent.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got like athletes who train numerous times a day and still have a healthy cycle. It's probably less to do with the exercise per se and more to do with how much body fat you have. And on top of that, I'd say more to do with how much body fat your body can events that you have. So it seems that like when people lose their menstrual cycle, it's usually to do with a hormone called leptin that is primarily produced by fat tissue to basically tell the brain how much energy is available. So when you drop your body fat really low, your body's like your brain's like, oh, there's not much energy available. We're going to turn off anything that's not essential, i.e., your menstrual cycle. Probably also an evolutionary thing of like, would it be a good idea to bring in another human to feed when there doesn't seem like there's much food available? No, probably not. And your body probably can't produce enough to like give life, essentially. So that's why that happens. It's less to do with the exercise. Now, obviously, if you're overexercising, you're adding a ton of stress to your body and you're very lean as well. That's certainly not going to help. But it's more to do with the body fat. And sometimes people kind of like try and find ways to like work around this of like, oh, well, if I just lower my exercise, or what if I eat more fats in my diet, or what if I change the macro ratio here? It's all almost irrelevant. You literally just need to increase your body fat. If it's hypothalamic amenorrhea, it's an increase in body fat. And where that happens for people is very individual. I actually just did a ton of like going back and looking over research for some stuff for EIQ. Do you remember doing the lecture on here's me telling you.
Remember?
Do you remember doing the lecture on personal fat threshold?
No, like memory, me, not good.
I taught it.
Oh,
There was a
that's
bath.
why I don't remember. And if I mean you did it, I have it.
There was a bathtub.
There a duck in the bathtub?
Might have been. It was like a really great analogy. Anyway, the point being here, like it kind of relates to this question about like when you would lose your menstrual cycle. It like on the other end of the spectrum, you've kind of got like how much body fat can you store before you have metabolic complications? And this is very variable as well. And this is why things like BMI aren't that good to go off, because it's so independent. And you'll get some people who can store a hell of a lot of body fat very safely and be in an overweight or obese category. And then you'll have other people who might not even be overweight, but because of where they store their body fat, they're going to have metabolic complications. And there's not very much that you can do about that apart from stay lean. And it's not fair because some people will like quote unquote get away or like safely store more than others. But this is this like concept of like you have your own personal fat threshold where you start storing body fat in more dangerous areas that become like visceral fat that cause cardiometabolic complications. Yes, so you're welcome for that, even though nobody asked about it.
Wouldn't
Okay.
be like, yeah.
Oh no, not like I just wanted to talk about it because I was just
No. Or you just like the sound of your own voice. No, never.
yeah, yes, I do. Okay, when lowering calories, I need 1500 to 1600 for a cut. I struggle to get enough protein around 100 grams. There's no question there, it's more of a statement.
Say the statement again. When struggling, what? When lowering
So,
calories?
let me paint the picture for you. This person is trying to diet on 1500 to 1600 calories. And when they eat that amount of calories, they struggle to get in enough protein.
Oh. This is where a small bit of compromise has to come into play with your carbs and fat sources. And this is, I think it's something a lot of people struggle with. They go a bit heavy on the carb side of things, and then the protein is an afterthought. And at the end of the day, it's kind of like, oh, well, I didn't hit my protein target. Ideally, you want to be like thinking ahead and building your meal around the protein so that you're having a good idea of how much protein you're having in each meal. So spreading it out across the day, splitting it up into like three meals and a snack, having like at least 25 grams per meal. And then adding the rest of the bits to your meal so that you are actually consciously choosing to get your protein in.
Yeah, I think as simple as like build each meal around protein, something Andy always touches on as well is that you don't need 50 different sources of protein. You can just increase the ones that you're already having. And I think that is a big like aha moment for people of like, oh, I don't need to find a different source of protein. I could just have a little bit more chicken, or I could have another handful of something that's high in protein.
Yeah, but on that, it needs to be lean protein because I have seen people, you say that, and if you're not choosing like a leaner source of protein, then that's going to skyrocket your calories. So it needs to
What,
be,
like peanuts?
yeah, or like, even the simple thing of choosing like 10% fat mince over like the 5%, like that can be a massive difference in calories.
Very true, especially with fats.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm working out and I'm having glutamine and apple cider vinegar and lemon in the morning. What are your thoughts?
Why?
I mean, great that you're working out.
Yeah, but why?
The rest of it, absolutely not. Like, also, that's a lot of like acid
Acid,
for your,
yeah.
yeah, for your teeth, if nothing else. Like, it, also, glutamine is probably the most stupid supplement. Like, it's a completely, like, unless you have a certain condition. Even that, like, yeah, it's one of the most abundantly made amino acids in your own body, so you don't need to supplement with it. Like, it's absolutely no need to supplement with it, no benefit whatsoever. So I wouldn't be doing that. It's mad the amount of supplements that are like that that still seem to do quite well.
Yeah, but it's the same with BCAAs, like absolutely no need to be taking them, but yet they're so popular.
Yeah. Even like BCAAs are like, I mean, they're still completely no need, but slightly better because there's leucine in it. But like glutamine, no. No. Okay, here's one for you. Why do some girls tuck their oversized t-shirts into the back of their sports bra?
100% just to show off their arse. Has to be. Definitely is.
Yeah, I got quite a few replies to this when I put it on my story. I think it was like just people being honest and like, I want to show off my glutes that I worked hard for. Absolutely. Why not? Some people were saying ventilation. You know,
Yeah.
you can get quite a hot lower back.
Yeah. Sweaty back.
No, yeah, there you go. Okay, if the scales are likely to get me downhearted around my period, would you advise not weighing?
Yes. I advise not weighing, but it's also good to actually understand what's happening on the scales, like that, what the actual fluctuations are. That can be a massive game changer for people if they actually understand that it's not actually body fat. But definitely if you know that and it's still getting you down, just stop weighing and focus on doing the things that make you feel good and never mind the scales.
I think it's a bit of a double whammy, like the week before your period as well, when you are most likely to weigh a bit more. You're also most likely to be like quite irrational, in a lower mood, potentially have PMS, like all of those things. And then on top of that, you're trying to be like really rational about the fact that the scales have gone up. It's like a kind of perfect storm for giving up on your diet or getting annoyed at stuff or feeling like you said, like feeling really downhearted. So I either wouldn't wait for that week. I mean, if you can't be rational about it, because the other side of it is some people are like, oh, when we get people now and again, we kind of have like two schools of thought on this. Some people I'll have weigh every single day at the same time, first thing in the morning, and then I'm like, look at these fluctuations. There's no way that you've put on body fat or lost body fat like that over the course of a week. Like it doesn't happen. And then people are kind of like, oh, right. So I don't need to worry about these fluctuations. And it's a big eye opener. Or if you already know that, because a lot of our clients already know that, they're very rational. They completely understand it. They're like, I know it could be this, this, or this. I know I had a big meal last night. I know blah, blah, blah. But it's still getting me down. Okay, don't wait. Like, what's the benefit of it? And this is something we're implementing in this round of Commit to Six. I've called it 30 HD, and it's essentially 30 days of getting your head down and focusing on the range targets that we've set you, and you will be amazed with the results that you get from doing that. One of the primary reasons that people give up on their diets is because of the scale weight, which is wild when you think, actually, you are losing fat, you are getting results, you are doing all the right things, but you give up because of something in scales have said. It's like, well, let's take that away and let's define a successful week based on, have you ticked off the targets that we've given you? And we set those targets for you very specifically based on you, your goals, and what's realistic. And if you can stay within that range, which is completely realistic, for 30 days, you'll be amazed at the results you get. Most people are like trying to be perfect and then like taking three steps back and then trying to be perfect and taking three steps back. The whole point in the range targets, if you just use like calories as an example for this, is that you'll have a non-negotiable kind of top of range that's going to be about your maintenance, maybe in a slight deficit. And then you're going to have like your kind of optimal fat loss calories. Now, let's say it's somewhere like, I don't know, between 1600 and 1900. If you're anywhere there, you're moving forward. And if you go closer to 1600, on average, you're going to get quicker results, but you're never going to give up because you've got this range to play with. We've implemented that now for the last like sort of two rounds, and the results are already incredible. Like even the mindset shift of like all or nothing mentality, like that's not so much of a problem anymore. Some people still struggle with it a little bit, but you're removing people's excuse to give up when they can't be perfect because they have a very realistic target that they know that they can stick to. And even like the confidence and self-belief that you get from being like, I'm not setting myself these unrealistic targets that I just keep not meeting. I'm actually setting myself, I can stick to this. I'm going to promise myself I'm going to do it. And then you consistently show up for yourself.
Yeah. So I've been doing check-ins today, and something that has come up a few times is actually from not weighing themselves, they've actually been able to remove the brain power. Like they've put them so much brain power and energy on the weighing scales that now that that's not something that they're focusing on, they're actually able to recognize all the progress that they're making in other areas. And like that is so much better than a number on the scales. Like even noticing sleep, communication with family members, how their family members are behaving as well, like taking up healthful habits. But like none of this would have been noticed before because everything, all the focus would have been just on wanting that scales to drop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then beating yourself up when it doesn't.
Yeah.
And then when you really think about it as well, like the reason that you want the scales to drop is because you fundamentally want to feel better. It always comes back to that. Like that's kind of like our whole focus is like, let's get you feeling your best. Now, for some people that'll be some fat loss, but some people it won't be. But like the emphasis is on that as opposed to whatever the scales say. It doesn't really matter what the scales say if you feel like shit.
Yeah. Question I ask people is, if I had a magic wand and I could give you the body that you wanted and that feeling that you're seeking, but you had to double the number on the scales, would you be okay with that? And they always say yes. Like the number isn't what you're actually looking for, it's how you feel within yourself.
Yeah. Or if I just went and tampered with your scales. They're like, oh look, you're at your goal weight now, stop fucking stressing about everything. Last question that I've saved to the end. What's different about Commit to Six? I've tried diets before. Why is this different?
Ooh, well, Commit to Six is it's a very realistic, sustainable approach. And this is something that we see all the time. People are often afraid to sign up because they don't actually think that they're going to be able to stick to what they think is necessary. But then they're often like really surprised with how realistic it is, how manageable it is, how much of their life that they can actually enjoy and live to their full while actually getting amazing results. So it's like a complete total shift around what they have perceived dieting to be in the past. It's a complete game changer, and it has like changed so many people's lives. And the fact that you have six so you have six experts who are all there supporting you at all times You can reach out to any of us at any stage. We're all there to help. You've got the support of the community. Like, it's just, it's an amazing thing. And there's not, like, you don't, you won't find it a good place in the industry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty great. I think one of the biggest things that people always talk about is like the reframe and how they always saw dieting as such a negative thing. And then they come here and it's like, well, we want you to feel your best. What does that look like? And actually, when you start feeling your best, it's a hell of a lot easier to make the changes you need to lose fat or to reach that goal. But it never comes at the cost of something else. And I think that, like, the biggest question before people sign up is often like, oh, I've got this thing coming up at some point over the next 6 weeks. Like, is now a bad time to do it? And it's like, no, now's the perfect time. Our whole thing is that you live your life to the fullest while you're also achieving your goals. Like, the two things should work together, and dieting should actually, you know, this is such a weirdly like controversial thing to say, but dieting should make you feel better, not worse. Like, it is here to improve your life. Diet and exercise are probably the highest level of self-care that you could ever do. There's no two things that are going to be better for your health or for how you feel, and yet we've turned them into such a negative thing. And I think for most people that come to us, that's the biggest shift for them. It's like, wow, I've changed my mindset from, I have to do this, I have to be as skinny as possible, I have to try and take as much out of my diet as possible and eat as little as possible, to how do I fuel myself to perform at my best in all areas of my life? And that's like a huge mindset shift, and you stop resenting the process and you start working with yourself.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of, somebody worded something excellently in a check-in there today. I won't be able to find it now, but the gist of it basically was that she's had this realization that eating well, she deserves to eat well, and it's not a punishment. Whereas people see, oh, eating fruit and veg, oh, do I have to do that? Whereas actually, no, you actually get to do this because it's going to enhance your life, not make it worse.
That is it in a nutshell. Yeah. Okay, thank you for your...
Do you want to tell them how they can sign up to join our amazingness?
Sorry. Yeah, well, what you can do is head over to esgfitness.co.uk/commit, or just message me saying commit and we can have a little chat beforehand, make sure you're a good fit, and I can send you the links to sign up. And we start on Monday, so you've not got much time.
Get cracking.
Bye.
Bye.